Live from the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Albaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, buddy. I'm Todd Albaugh, along with Aaron Zommers, our producer and engineer, the effervescent and talented Mr. Zommers at that back of the world headquarters in Madison. It is the, Thursday, the 10th of August, 2023. We are live on location here in South Milwaukee at this fantastic event in beautiful South Milwaukee High School. They said $84 million as an addition renovation. It's absolutely beautiful.
Yeah, and most of it went to the prison bars behind you so that you can't leave.
Yes, that's exactly what it is.
No, they're not prison bars.
Reporting live from the federal prison where Donald Trump waits. No, not really. Yes, it's South Milwaukee. And is where we're at Wisconsin Public Education Network. We thank our colleague, Mr. Pat Kreitlow of Up North News, for being with us in our first hour. He is headed back up to Lake Wissota in the beautiful Chippewa Valley. Also, thanks to Dr. Jill Underley, the state school superintendent of public schools. And also thanks to Christina Shelton, state representative Christina Shelton of the 90th Assembly District. And appreciate having her on with us as well. At the bottom of the hour, we have Wisconsin Public Education Network Digital Communication Director Christian Phelps is going to tell us how they're using digital communication to get the word out on public education. But right now, it was a Tuesday that did not feel well because it, our Tuesday tangent segment was postponed because it was postponed. And here we are though on Thursday tangents. Our own Luke Mathers, the wonderful and talented, back at the home studios in Madison. How the heck are you, Lukester?
I'm well, Todd. I'm well. Yes. I feel like I'm going to derail the entire education vibe that you got going on for this show then.
No. Well, you're an educated man, so it's fine. No, this is a great event. I only wish you were here because it's been great people, all positive stuff. So it's been a lot of fun.
We used to play against South Milwaukee as an Oak Creek grad.
Really?
The Knights took on the Rockets at least a handful of times. Oak Creek. So right down the road from South Milwaukee. They were in the high school division. We played South Milwaukee frequently. They played them in soccer and marched. I don't know if they had a marching band that we competed against with our marching band, but all of the high school sports competed against South Milwaukee throughout high school. So I know the area well.
It's beautiful down here. You know what I did? I brought up they had me say a couple of words to the group earlier in the morning, and I brought up the fact that, you know, our back in Southwest Wisconsin, WRCE, WRCO, just to the east of Richland Center is Ithaca. Unincorporated, of course, our own Phil D called and Henry Bray called that great game where Ithaca came back from an 8-run deficit in the final inning and won a state championship. So I used that. Then we had Dr. Underley sitting here. I had forgotten that they beat Pecatonical, which is where she's from.
So
Dr. Underley, I'm not sure she agreed. Yeah, I know. I'm not sure she appreciated that. No, she was a great sport about it. But that's what it means. Look, your story there, you come from, comes from Southwest Wisconsin. I would call you coming from more of an urban area. But it doesn't matter whether it's urban or rural or suburban across Wisconsin. Our public schools are our identity.
Yes, yeah, and definitely hats off to the Oak Creek School District. I'm sure the South Milwaukee School District as well there is doing phenomenal work like you are attesting to. And it's great to hear that you're live from this event. Todd, it sounds like the illness tried to sideline you, but you're powering through and you're broadcasting from a terrific event.
I'm not sure what in the world. Here's the deal. I'm just going to tell you this. You'll appreciate this story. So I wasn't going to stay at the most expensive place, but I'm not staying in a Motel 6. You understand? down to a Hampton Inn is nice. Middle of the road place to stay. And so I went and they had a hot tub down there. Not in my room, but just the general public. So I thought, well, this will be great. I'll go down and I'll get a lot of steam. You understand? It will help this voice and help my head. It turns out sitting in a tub of chlorine chemicals for 45 minutes may not have been the best choice. because I do not necessarily feel any better. In fact, I think I feel worse today.
Okay, now is when I should have played that sound.
Well, what can you do? But I'm happy to be here. They've been nothing but great hosts down here in South Milwaukee. Luke, something that you are always on top of, our wonderful United States Supreme Court. And I understand in this week's Tuesday Tangents, or now Thursday Tangents with Luke, you are bringing us more depressing news about the United States Supreme Court. And Matt Flynn said this a couple days ago, that Samuel Alito or Clarence Thomas on the take. He said Clarence Thomas is on the take. Tell us more, Luke.
Well, there's some numbers that are being reported again by ProPublica, an excellent outlet that has been shining some light on what exactly should have been disclosed but wasn't disclosed. And so, yeah, there's an excellent written up piece. I'd love to dive into the details, but there's a lot of them, Todd. There's a lot of information that we as the American public did not know about one of the 9 sitting Supreme Court justices.
What are your feelings on the Supreme Court? Do you think, do you agree with Matt Flynn? Are they on the take? 844-967-2789. 844-967-2789. We'd love to hear from you over the phone line or on the Civic Media app. You can text us there as well. We'll get Luke's take after the break here. Also, in the next segment, I want to hear about what Luke thinks about the demise of the Pac-12 conference and what this means for Wisconsin Badger basketball. And also, Luke, did you hear we're going to start selling booze at the basketball and hockey games? We'll see what Luke's take on that.
It's
going
to be an enhanced social experiment, or whatever they refer to it as.
That's exactly what it's going to be. Stay with us now. This is the Todd Ball Show, live on location on the Civic Media Radio Network. Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. Glad to have you along with us live on location from South Milwaukee here at the Wisconsin Public Education Network Summit. Great time had by all. And let me tell you, our friends from the Lincoln Project are also here. They're a sponsor of this, actually. Don't ever tell me that I haven't taken care of you guys. Hang on. Look at what I've procured for the both of you. Those watching the streaming or listening to us, like, what the heck is he doing? I bring gifts back to the studio here. Hang on.
Is it Chinese takeout?
Is it a bobblehead?
No, it's not Chinese takeout or a bobblehead.
It looks like a bobblehead box.
I'm going to bring you your very own Lincoln Project mug.
There you go. Well, thank you. Look at you.
Is it one for...
What I like about this is it's a great grip. The mug is all about the grip, right?
So is it one for the two of us to share?
No, you each get your own mug, for goodness sake. That's exactly how I got
it. It's a valid question. Do we have to share the mug?
Pat Kreitlow and I shared a mug, and this is how I ended up this way.
Oh, exactly now happened. It's all coming out. It's coming together. We're learning what's happening.
What do you think about the Supreme Court? Our friend and colleague Matt Flynn has said that Justice Clarence Thomas is on the take because it just keeps getting worse. I mean, first it was a house, so then it was schooling for his grandnephew or whatever it was, essentially his kid. And now it turns out, Luke, that apparently, what was it, a $275,000 RV that Clarence Thomas
$284,000 or something like that, $274,000, Yeah.
I mean, the guy is just out of control. But what do you got for us?
Yeah, well, we are now seeing some of the details of the trips that Clarence Thomas has taken. It's not just a Harlan Crow thing. Harlan Crow, the billionaire from Texas, was kind of tied with a lot of these different stories, Todd. When it started coming out, it was discussed that, it was a friendship. What are a few trips among friends? And now we're learning that it's not just Harlan Crow that is Clarence Thomas's friend when it comes to billionaires. This piece titled Clarence Thomas's 38 Vacations, the Other Billionaires Who Have Treated the Supreme Court Justice to Luxury Travel. And this kind of puts a thumb in the eye, Todd, of a lot of the stories that Clarence Thomas had done on him. There was a whole documentary done how he's an everyman's man. He wanted to be able to travel the country discreetly, and that's why he got that RV. He said that he paid for the RV on his own, but it turns out there was a friend that was financing that RV. Different story reporting how he got financing, Clarence Thomas, Supreme Court Justice Clarence Thomas, got financing for that RV that a bank wouldn't typically have loaned. So it wasn't just that he was, you know, getting a sweet deal. Not only did he get the loan, he kind of got a sweet deal in the loan from a friend underwriting it for him to get that RV that he then propped up this persona of an everyman's man traveling around the country that way. But it's not just RV travels around the U.S. that he likes to do. He likes to travel quite a bit. We found out about the super yacht in I believe, Thailand or Indonesia, a Asian island chain, Archipelago, I believe, is where the super yacht trip went. We're learning now about vacations in the Bahamas and Florida as well. So
it doesn't stop, right?
It doesn't seem to be stopping. According to this piece over at ProPublica, at least 38 destination vacations, including a previously unreported voyage on a yacht around the Bahamas, 26 private jet flights, plus an additional 8 by helicopter, a dozen VIP passes to professional and college sporting events, typically perched in the skybox, 2 stays at luxury resorts in Florida and Jamaica, and 1 standing invitation to an Uber-exclusive golf club overlooking the Atlantic coast. So an everyman's man, Todd. Anybody could be able to access this, right?
You know, the RV was... No one was going to buy the RV anyway, so it's basically free, right?
It went unsold for so long. Yeah, it was basically free.
Well, gentlemen, this is a stop by and say hello table. We're here at the beautiful cafeteria live on location in Milwaukee South High School. And so the lovely and talented Christine Andrews, who is here helping out with both the project here in Milwaukee and also with Project Lincoln, has brought a fantastic guest here. And I'm sorry, we're literally meeting. Hang on, let me bring your microphone up. Literally meeting on the air. It is Keith Posley, is that correct?
That's correct.
All right. If you bring the microphone just a little bit closer, Keith, that'd be fantastic. And tell us your role in Milwaukee Public Schools.
Good. I'm Keith Posley. I'm the proud superintendent of the Milwaukee Public Schools.
Well, good. See, Chris only brings us the best. This is a beautiful school, a superintendent.
Absolutely.
How long have you been in the job?
This is on the job as superintendent of Milwaukee. This is year number 6.
Year number 6. And did you grow up in the Milwaukee area or you moved here?
I am a Mississippi transplant.
Now we're going to be talking a little bit later about
Mississippi.
The SEC and the demise of the Big 12. Well, as a Mississippi guy,
how do you feel? The best.
See, this is all I get from SEC
guys.
That's
the training grounds for the NFL.
Well, that's true. Yeah. We're hoping that Luke Fickell helps us out this year in the Big Ten. We'll see.
I hope so.
So you've been in Wisconsin since you got the job 6 years ago?
Yes. No, I've been in Wisconsin. This is year number 34.
Oh, wow.
I started my teaching career here in Milwaukee as assistant principal in Milwaukee, a principal of schools in Milwaukee, regional superintendent, chief of schools, and then this job as the superintendent of schools.
Well, I can't thank you enough for taking the time to come on our show. We go all across the state of Wisconsin. We've been talking with Dr. Jill Underley and other people on the show today. This is the public education, the crisis that our schools face is not an urban problem. It's not a rural or suburban. It is a statewide problem. Tell us a couple of the things that are facing you as challenges in Milwaukee Public Schools, and also a couple of things that you're really proud of that you see working here.
Yeah, and I would say... it's a challenge all over the world. I had an opportunity to grow up in a rural district, did my student teaching in a suburban district, and then my career has been in an urban district.
Yeah.
So the challenges are basically the same. Yeah. And some of the things that I'm looking at as challenges for this upcoming year, number one, staffing. Staffing is key. Finding staff to support our schools and our school communities. So that is number one. That is funding of all of the amazing programs that we offer in public education, all of the amazing things that we do for young people, and to be able to fund that experience and that education is just been is also a challenge. And so when you look at all of those kinds of things, the mental health that's you know, that sometimes that we are confronted with and issues around that, to be able to support that, the needs that some of our students, may have, and we want to work with them through that process and doing everything and finding funding and clinicians and individuals to work with our young people is also key.
If I used to work at the state capitol in another life, I've always felt that Milwaukee public schools have gotten beat up on unfairly, that it kind of gets a bad rap. Tell us a couple of really great things that you're proud of that are happening down here in Milwaukee public schools.
Some of the great things. And one of the things that I've just been on air about is this whole $121 million our young people this past year racked up in scholarship dollars.
Wow, amazing.
They're going all over the country to all of the amazing schools of higher ed that they will be down in the doors of. The amazing work that we're doing around our strategic plan. We just set forth a strategic plan for the next 5 years. It's amazing work around that. The work that our staff pull together on a daily basis, the rigor that I'm seeing in classrooms and the things that staff has done to prepare to get ready for this upcoming school year is truly amazing. And so it's something that we really want to support. And the other thing is that we support and educate all students.
Bingo.
All, not we don't sift and stream. We educate every single individual that come to our doors.
I grew up in a town of 5,000. My graduating class was just over 500. It doesn't matter whether you're in a small rural school there or whether you come down here to Milwaukee. This is a beautiful facility, Superintendent Posley, and the vigor, the passion for education is as absolute intense here as it is any place else in the state.
Absolutely.
And we appreciate you. Appreciate the work that you're doing down here, because this is a beautiful school. We heard from the choir kids, the pep band kids. I mean, people are people, right?
Right.
It doesn't matter where, if you're in a city or in a small town. I mean, we just all want a good education and have our kids do better.
Absolutely.
Well, thank you very
much.
That's
what we are in the business of doing, making sure life is better for our young people.
Well, you're doing God's work. We appreciate you so very much. And we'll try not to. I don't think we have a Big Ten's not going to take out the SEC anytime soon. So.
No, you're correct. All right.
Thank you. Dr. Posley, thank
it's
you
a pleasure.
Really,
yes,
really
yeah.
Thank you for making time for us today. Really, really appreciate it. Very good. Well, look at that, Luke. Look at that. You never know when the superintendent of the public school is going to stop by the table. I mean, how's that?
Yeah, you are just you are one of the hardest working guys here at Civic Media, Todd.
I'm not sure about that, but you know, I you know, like a blind squirrel, once in a while you find a nut. So you know, I mean, you know, I got lucky.
And no, just to throw it out there, there's a lot of linemen coming. Offensive or defensive linemen coming out of the Big Ten. So the NFL, you know, we've got our mark here at the Big Ten for the NFL too.
I totally agree. We got about a couple of minutes left, Luke. It's all yours. What are your thoughts on the demise of the Pac-12 and how this bodes? And well, do you want to talk about that or drinking? Your choice.
Well, it's both. I mean...
I didn't drink, quite frankly.
No, it's about, but that's really funny. Right.
Aaron just cracks up. He's just like, oh, okay. I think that it's kind of, they're the same right now. You're going to get at the Kohl Center, at least for Badger basketball and hockey games, we're going to get some beer sales now.
Yeah.
And it was, it's going to be interesting news to see how that affects the collegiate season for fans. I hope that all the students that are fans enjoy responsibly, because, you know, it's not allowed in Camp Randall, and there's still a lot of fans getting kicked out for getting a little too rowdy on Saturdays at Camp Randall.
I know.
So hopefully everybody participates well. It will also be interesting to see some of the changes happening with the conference, how a team like UCLA or USC or any other Pac-12 teams that may enter the Big Ten Conference, how they play in November here in Wisconsin. Good luck to them.
That one, you're absolutely right, Luke. Good luck is right.
And it's going to be, I imagine every single locker room, Todd, every single Badger in the locker room is going to be just hoping that weekend of Thanksgiving, I have a feeling we'll still get Minnesota that weekend, but you're going to, fingers crossed, the week before that you get to go to SoCal instead of one of the other Midwestern.
A listener back at WRCE in Richland Center reminds me, Richland Center says, Richland Center High School is just over 500 total. Not your class, silly.
There you go.
And they're absolutely, like, graduating class, like 100 something.
I had 526 in my graduating class. So I had a graduating class that size.
My entire school was 500. That's why I have good listeners. All right. Well, clearly Todd's looped up on medication here, or I need to be. I'm not sure what's going on. We're gonna, always great to have you on, Lukester. Appreciate you. Catch Luke every day, 12:15 to 1 before us on Town Call with William Walter. Thanks so much, Luke. Appreciate you.
Thanks, Todd.
All right. Back with Christian Phelps, the digital director here of the Wisconsin Public Education Network, after this on the Civic Media Radio Network. Truth, wherever it may lead, and having fun doing it. We are live on location here at South Milwaukee High School. We are at the Wisconsin Public Education Network Summit here in the beautiful high school. After a lot of renovations, a lot of taxpayer money, and a lot of great educators who put their blood, sweat, and tears into this beautiful facility. Great conference. And we have on the text line here, we have from our listener, Jeff Perry, our ongoing contributor, after hearing my voice, which, of course, it's not COVID. I keep testing. It's not that. It's some sort of laryngitis, allergy stuff. But Mr. Perry says, my offer still stands to read aloud from the owner's manual of my 1975 Mercury Monarch. Just saying. But turns out we don't have to do that because we have another great guest here with us instead, which will save us from that and also be informative. His name is Christian Phelps. He is the digital communication director and the marketing director here at the network as well, the Wisconsin Public Education Network. Thank you, Christian, for helping out and saving my crappy voice here.
Oh, well, that's the least I could do. I mean, thank you for being here. I hope it's been fun for you as it is for all of us.
I've had a blast. It's fun. I mean, I just got to have the superintendent of Milwaukee Public Schools, yeah. And we had a couple of representatives on with us as well, Dr. Jill Underly, the state school superintendent. First of all, tell people, we just found out where you grew up, but tell people listening over the air where you grew up and what led you to get involved with the Wisconsin Public Education Network.
Yeah, I was born and raised in Eau Claire and went through 13 years of public school in Eau Claire from 1999 to 2012. And I'm kind of a fourth generation person from that area, Northwest Wisconsin, kind of Western Wisconsin, Eau Claire yeah. mostly, and come from a family of educators. Truly, both parents, all four grandparents, wow. five aunts and uncles. Like, wow. I didn't know there were other jobs until I was probably a teenager.
Right.
And so the culture and the values that go into public education are really just hand in hand with the cultures and values that I was raised with. Yeah. And I was also 17 when Act 10 was introduced, and there was a huge, like, rhetorical shift that just felt like this persecution of those values and the professionalism that our educators put into their work, and the space that is for many people the safest for a kid that should at least be the safest right. if we all rally around it. And so I kind of entered adulthood realizing that public education was, you know, for worse, a political wedge issue in Wisconsin.
Yeah.
And the times that I've tried to do other things, I always find myself sort of coming back to this issue. So, you know, I left this for several years, and I got a degree in journalism, and always found myself writing about public education, finding that the other things that I'm passionate about lead back to public education as the foundation of that issue. Not to say that everything is perfect, but to say that if it were, it would improve all those other things I do care about. Yeah. And so I've been here since 2020 because this network, under the leadership of Heather Dubois-Bornon, our executive director, has just been the leading advocacy, nonpartisan advocacy coalition on the issues that I hold so dear.
When you think about public education, being a product of public education, I am as well. To be now being able to work with schools, with communities, to improve that, that has to make you feel pretty darn good.
Yeah, it does, because you get to meet so many people around the state yeah. that can say something similar to what you've said this morning about your story with public education and what I, you know, sort of just went through as quickly as I could. I mean, at this event, you've mentioned we've talked to some superintendents of large districts, state superintendent. Also here are parent advocates from, like, small communities in Wisconsin, people who got involved because they realized if we don't pass this referendum, the district that my own kids attend or my own neighbors teach in is really at risk here. And so like the joy of it really comes in making those connections with people who may not have ever found each other if it weren't for their public school advocacy. Right. But now they're coming together in rooms like this one.
When we're talking to Christian Phelps, he is the digital and communication director for the Wisconsin Public Education Network. The part about this I love is the digital side, because, you know, everything comes down to this, as they say, little by little, it's a device. And what have you done, being a more youthful person, to say, hey, here's how we have to connect with people and make them aware of what's going on in public education? What have you done to the digital side of the newer media to do that?
Yeah. So part of it is a mindset thing. And when I said, you know, my upbringing was very rooted in public education, but I care about other things and find that they lead me back here. Not everybody was raised in that kind of an environment, yeah. But everybody cares about something. And the need to do digital outreach comes from the fact that it's really important that we reach every Wisconsinite, no matter what motivates them to get up every day or what keeps them up at night, perhaps, to help them understand, without a thriving and equitable public school system in our state, we can't get those things. So like, we might as well be working together. And so there's a whole population of millennials like myself. I'm like a young millennial, I think, because I don't know where the line is. But who may not have kids yet, yeah. Or may not have school age kids yet. But if they care about things like poverty,
right,
or racial justice, yeah. Or the environment, you know, newsflash, we need to reach out to you, because yeah. You need to understand the role of public education here. So it's been really fun and rewarding and challenging to sort of implement things like digital media, you know, texting campaigns, going on radio shows that people are going to listen to later on their phones rather than live on the radio, you know, and right. Just sort of kind of do that outreach and make those connections for people who they're not opposed to strong public schools. They just might not know how important it is for them to get involved yet.
Have you found pushback? I don't want to say in a negative sense, but when you say, look, your district or your organization needs to be on Instagram or, you know, on, I have refused to call it X, by the way, I still call it Twitter, but Twitter or whatever it is, do you find some of these places like we don't need to go there, or are they willing to work with you?
People are very willing to work, because I think when anytime people get involved, they realize how much of a vacuum they could fill by doing that kind of outreach. Yeah. And our model is very much not, we would like to walk into your project and tell you that you should be doing X, Y, and Z. Yeah. It's basically the other way around. We want to make ourselves available and have people reach out to us about something they have going on in their local area. And we're happy to help fill those gaps. So if they have like, we need to get to the school board meeting because some of this culture war stuff is really distracting our community right now, and we need to do something about it. What can we do? You know, our question is like, what do you want to do? And like, from my angle, how can we fit a digital campaign into that actually meets your needs? And so it isn't so much a persuasion campaign on my part to tell people what they shouldn't be using. I haven't found that people are reluctant in any way to reach a wider swath of the population, including young adults and young people and students themselves, in fact. And so I'm just here to help them do that if I can.
You brought up this issue of the culture wars. And I know this is a nonpartisan organization, so I don't want to make it partisan. But if we just look at the headlines and the news, other people that have sat at this table today have brought up, there are kids who are marginalized, who are not white, straight, male, mm-hmm. who don't feel comfortable in their public schools today. When we look at things that are happening down in Florida, and banning books, and can't say gay, and all this garbage, I'll say it, you know, do you get involved in advocacy directly, or are you here to help a school district, to help a community do their own advocacy?
For the most part, the latter. I mean, largely we want to help people who want to advocate. Yeah. And a lot of the time there's like something that they're scared of. I mean, because a lot of this can be kind of daunting. So in some cases it's a matter of, why don't we give you the phone number of this person who's done it before? And like, you just build that relationship. Yeah. But you know, the challenges that people face are really scary sometimes. And, And so the appetite for advocacy, it, you know, isn't really always there organically if the issue hasn't touched you personally yet. And so, you know, the fact that we're just here to help people doesn't mean, you know, we do some advocacy on our own. Sure. I mean, and the state budget is a good example of that, which the process just wrapped up. You know, Wisconsin Public Education Network had clear budget asks that we were advocating for.
Yeah.
We also root the support that we give public school advocates in a set of non-negotiable values. And so we kind of like put our work into three buckets in the work we help people with. Appreciation in action, you know, applaud the great things happening in public schools, mm-hmm. equity in action, demand what's needed most for the kids who are getting the least. Mm-hmm. And what today's theme is accountability in action. Hold yourself accountable for speaking up when you have a chance, and hold the people who are making decisions accountable for making the right ones. And so that isn't really prescriptive advocacy on our part, but if you want to do some advocacy that aligns with those values, we want to help you do it.
Speaking of a little advocacy for you guys right now, because we started this morning, you guys are trying to raise some money here, and it's as easy as it can be. You just go in and click, and you, hey, you got some money from me already this morning. So there you go. Congratulations. Yeah. If Todd can do this, you at home can do this as well. It's not difficult. You had a QR code here, but if people want to support Wisconsin Public Education Network, how can they do so today from their homes, Christian?
It's very easy. You can text Go Public, all one word, to 53555, and you know, help us sort of bridge the gaps between what people want to do and what resources they have to do it. You know, I think there's a lot of work in public school advocacy that happens behind the scenes, but look at all the people that came into the room today, Todd. I mean, there are a lot of people from around the state here in the Milwaukee area, and all the people that you hear in your communities talking about the values that people have raised today. Our message is spreading because it's a popular one, and that doesn't just happen automatically. You know, it really takes a lot of work to get the word out about what people can do and why it's so important to do it. And supporting our work as Wisconsin Public Education Network financially is really an essential part of making it possible to provide those resources.
Speaking of the messaging, Public Schools Unite Us. You have these great yard signs out here. I think I couldn't think of a more perfect message to get out there. Did you come up with that?
It came to us about a year and a half ago.
Listen how humble and modest he is. No, it wasn't me.
No, we settled on it really naturally and kind of almost accidentally, because there aren't that many universal truths out there.
That's so true, right?
To be totally honest, you know, being a public school advocate is not the same as being an apologist for anything negative. Yeah. And so we really aren't here to pretend like there have never been any issues happening within public schools. What we want is the freedom to actually address those issues and the removal of the distractions that make it so we can't address them. But through it all, for better or worse, public schools unite us. And there is not a person I've met in urban, suburban, or rural Wisconsin who has replied to the phrase "public schools unite us" with "no, they don't." You know, that is by design what this institution does across Wisconsin. It educates over 800,000 kids this year. Mm-hmm. It is in many communities the largest employer in many of our small towns. Yes. That the public school is the heart of the community. And no matter who you are within a community, the public school is what unites you. So we might as well just do something with that unity and make that institution into what our kids deserve it to be.
I love it, because you're so right. I talked about this in our little comments this morning, whether it was Ithaca Public Schools or Richland Center or Green Bay or whatever it is, but I think particularly for either a small town, or I would say even like South Milwaukee, I'm sure there are some kids here, just like out where I'm from, who don't have parents at home when they get home, or who are looking for a meal in the morning. And if that choir does well, if that baseball team does well, that's everything to them. And schools really do give us a sense of community beyond the classroom. Mm.
Yeah. And, you know, I was a kid in public schools. You know, I was an LGBTQ and I was out LGBTQ kid in a public high school in Wisconsin. So I, to some extent, am speaking with personal experience when I say I know things aren't just always perfect in the public schools. You know, it's a challenging experience sometimes. And the way that our public schools unite us it presents some of those challenges. You know, not every one of my peers was somebody who I got along with. Not every one of my teachers was a teacher who handled, you know, discrimination issues perfectly. So, but the public school can and should be this sort of like foundational bedrock for any of the any of those kids who are facing challenges that come from difference or challenges that come from lack of understanding or lack of awareness. Yeah. You know, it's going to require advocacy in order to turn them into that institution, but the foundation is there, and that's what makes them so unique.
Christian Phelps, a great product of Wisconsin public education, and you're doing great work now. Thank you so much for being a wonderful host. If it wasn't for Christian, we wouldn't even be on the air today. So we can thank him. Thank you, Christian Phelps. Back with more after this. And again, go public to 53555 to support Wisconsin Public Education Network. Back after this on the Civic Media Radio Network. Welcome back to Town Hall Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. We are live on location here at Milwaukee, South Milwaukee Public High School. Great to be here for the Wisconsin Public Education Network Summit. Great facility, Mr. Sommers. Great area. And, you know, at the end of the old Late Late Show with Craig Ferguson, he used to talk to Jeffrey, his robot co-host. And he'd say, Jeffrey, what have we learned today? What have we learned? I'll tell you what I've learned today, maybe not learned, but reinforced, is that it just doesn't matter what town we come from. It doesn't matter, you know, who we are. It doesn't matter the color of our skin, our ethnicity, our gender. All of us want a great education. And I'm not saying there's not space in Wisconsin for charter schools, but the fact is, that public schools are the backbone of the state of Wisconsin when it comes to educating our kids. And we need more organizations like the Wisconsin Public Education Network doing this great work of getting the message out that our public schools unite us. And I've been encouraged. I know Pat Kreitler was here earlier. He went to a couple of breakout sessions. And one of the things I like about these people is that they're very honest. There's no sugarcoating going on down here. They're saying, look, here are some problems. Here are some things that have been done wrong in the past in terms of getting better funding and better messaging. And we're going to hold people accountable. And by the way, they've talked about holding people accountable, both Republicans and Democrats, at this summit. So this is not a one-side partisan type of deal going on down here today. It is a real conversation, trying to find real answers to elevate public education. Mr. Sommers, I know you're a product of public education as well.
Yeah, and it was a great experience for me, but I consider myself pretty lucky because I know that not every school is funded as well or happens to have teachers who are willing to put up with not being paid as well or things like that and are still good teachers.
Yeah. No, I go back to it, right? Teachers are so special. I remember I remember all my teachers, quite frankly, but there are those that stick out and just say, you know, if it had not been for person X, I would not have learned whatever, or I would not be the person I am today. My public education all through kindergarten through 12th grade, and then going to public university at UW-Richland and then Platteville, it gave me the foundation to do what I'm doing today. Would have been better if it had given me a great voice, or at least a healthy one. I got a text from my friend that said, good show today. I like all the guests, but you sound horrible. And he's right. I do. And again, I apologize to those listening or on the stream dealing with this goofy allergies and laryngitis. So we're going to try to do one more show this week. Tomorrow we're going to be out live, I believe, in the Sun Prairie. We may be on the river. I don't know, but we're not Sun Prairie. Good Lord, Sauk Prairie. I almost went to the wrong place.
You mean Sauk City?
Well, yeah. Well, they come, there's Sauk City and there's Prairie to Sac, and they can refer to them as Sauk City
or Sauk Prairie. Gotcha. I was unaware of this. Yeah, as long as you're on the river and not in the river, I think we'll be okay.
Have I said that I need a drink yet?
Yes.
I have to drive though back to Madison, so there'll be no drinking for Toddy. Just some meds, some Sudafed or something. I don't know. Trying to get better for tomorrow, and talk a little bit more sports tomorrow on the show, and also going to talk a little bit more previewing the Republican Democrat, pardon me, the Republican debate, the presidential debate. We were down here in Milwaukee last night getting ready. Civic Media plans to do a little coverage of that, so we're putting those plans together. But hopefully it will involve many members of the Civic Media team. Also, our friends at the Lincoln Project. And here is one of those beautiful Lincoln Project mugs right there on the stream. And we're going to have some of the folks from the Lincoln Project join us as well and cover that Republican debate coming up 2 weeks from yesterday. So we're looking at a location right across the street, basically, from Fiserv Forum. Wouldn't it be great if we get, like, Giannis on the pregame show?
That would be incredible.
Nothing to do with politics, you understand. Just having Giannis Antetokounmpo. That's all I want.
Just have him on there. Just talk about sports. Talk about whatever he wants to talk about. How about that?
Bingo. If Giannis wants to come on this show, we will let him talk about anything he wants.
As long kinda as like it's FCC friendly.
Well, yes, yes. There's a sign of a good producer. Always watching out for me. Always watching out for the show and the network with the FCC regulations. One person who is always great to listen to is our friend Matt Flynn. He is coming up next here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Matt Flynn direct from 3 until 4. And then from 4 until 6, it is our friends Crudy and Dom with the Devil's Advocates. Remember, it's never personal, only politics. The Devil's Advocates coming up here at 6 o'clock, the Maggie Dawn Show. At 7 o'clock on a Thursday, I forget who we have on the air, Mr. Summers. Do you remember? And then at 8 o'clock,
give me a second,
Rick
yeah.
Smith. Yeah, that's fine. Rick, we only work here. It's Rick Smith Across America from 8 until 10. At 10 o'clock, it will be our friend Robert Pilot with Native Roots Radio. If you haven't checked out Native Roots, you should do so because it's a great show. Robert Pilot, a naturally funny guy, a wonderfully smart guy, and gives you a perspective on news from the Native American perspective. Native Roots tonight on Civic Media from 10 until 11.
The 7 o'clock show, the reason that we weren't sure is because it's one of the few shows we have that's not produced by somebody in-house. It is Raised in Wisco with Joel Clayfish.
Joel Clayfish, very good.
So that's why.
Raised in Wisco. So that will be on the air tonight after Maggie Dawn. Very good. Well, it's been a great show. And Mr. Somers tells me that some of our stream was a little fuzzy. I'm sorry about that. We'll try to clean it up next time we're on the road. But we're testing out new equipment. All in all, not a bad show.
Not at all. And got some amazing guests, some great insights.
Yeah. Let me see if I can remember all of our guests. Dr. Jill Underley, the state superintendent of public schools. We had state representative Christina Shelton, who represents the 90th Assembly District up in Green Bay. Thanks to Representative Shelton. And also thanks to Christian Phelps, who is the digital and communication director for the Wisconsin Public Education Network as well. Thanks to them. And thanks to the entire crew for letting us host this thing. Thanks to our friend Pat Kreitlow for being my first hour guest host, and also Luke Mathers for being the host in hour number two. Thank you to Mr. Somers, our producer.
State Superintendent Dr. Jill Underley and Milwaukee Superintendent Keith Posley.
Oh, yes. Thank you very much for remembering that one. See, the meds are not working. Yes, great to have on a moment's notice the superintendent of Milwaukee Public Schools here as well. He was absolutely fantastic. Mr. Zomers doing a great job back there on the board. We thank you as well. Stay tuned. Next time we have Matt Flynn direct coming up here at the after the news at the top of the hour. Don't forget breaking news from CBS, ABC, or AP, depending upon which civic media station you listen to, as Jack Smith, a special prosecutor, announcing he wants Donald Trump to go to trial next year, like in January, on January 6th of 2024. I'm sure Matt Flynn has details on that. Stay with us. Matt Flynn, direct us next until tomorrow. Whatever you're fighting for, whatever you believe in, keep banging your drum live from Milwaukee. This has been the Todd Hallball Show.